it's time for your SportsEdge.com sideline report with Todd Griffin. Talking sports and more here on 1580 103.3 WPKY and worldwide at WPKYonline.com. Here's your host, Todd Griffin.
Good morning, everyone. The Sideline Report is on the air from 1035 West Main Street in Princeton. Thanks a lot for joining us this morning. We've got Dave Winder from Murray State University on the phone, so we'll jump right into it this morning. Dave, good morning. How are things there in Murray today?
Well, the Racers got a big win over Bradley last night, so yeah, you got a little extra pep in your step when you win a big game like that. It was our Missouri Valley Conference opener for the men last night, and it was a great game, and retired the jersey number of the great Stuart Johnson, so it was a good night.
Yeah, big win for the Racers there, and the Missouri Valley Conference, it just seems to be an adventure every time out.
There are no easy outs. Everybody's got three or four guys who could play for anybody in the league. You know, you look at even Evansville a year ago, they went 1-19, but Kenny Strawbridge, who was a great small forward, any team in the league would have loved to have him. And then Evansville, up until last night, they were 6-0 for the first time since early 60s, maybe. They gave it a run last night against Drake. But Drake, you know, is the defending tournament champion and was the preseason favorite. Kind of trucked them in the second half, but so while all that was going on, the Racers played a great game against Bradley. Rob Perry and Jacoby Wood each tossed in 19 points. Brian Moore had 14. And Bradley is a huge team. They got a 7-foot kid from Serbia on their team who's a really good player. Got Duke Dean, who's 5'8", one of the best point guards in the league. And the Racers knew they had to play a great game to beat Bradley last night, and we were able to defend our home court, and you've got to do that in this league because winning on the road is really, really tough. Now, Belmont went into Northern Iowa last night and beat them by 20, so I'm not sure what that says about the Bruins, but it says they at least played pretty good last night.
Well, I was going to say, just making sure you get the win on your home court, that's a big deal for conference play.
Yeah, it's a must. The Racers went 13-2 at home. A year ago, those two losses came in conference play. SIU beat the Racers in there last year, and then Drake came in and handled them pretty easily. But the Racers now have got to learn how to win on the road, Todd, because going to Illinois State for a Sunday afternoon 2 o'clock game up in Normal, Illinois, and they didn't play last night. They played tonight up at Illinois Chicago, so. That's the thing is Steve Prohm, our head coach, was immediately talking to the guys and to the media afterwards is, hey, this is great. We're going to enjoy this tonight. But then tomorrow we got to figure out how we can take this good play away from home and do the same thing.
Yeah, talk a little bit more about the jersey retirement last night, the number 40 jersey of Stuart Johnson. How did that kind of come about?
This is one of the most amazing things probably I've ever told you about on your show, Todd, as it concerns Murray State. So Stuart Johnson was a two-time All-OVC player, All-America, from 1963 to 66 for Coach Cal Luther. Stuart was the Murray State's first black scholarship basketball player, and so you've got that going on, that he was an absolute groundbreaker. Now, he came along to Murray State after Dennis Jackson that we've talked about. He was the first student-athlete who was African-American. And, of course, Dennis played football and ran track and field. Then shortly after that, here comes Stuart as one of the first black OVC basketball players. And Murray State administration and Coach Luther, they were solidly behind this. And last night he just talked about the difficulties that we'll never understand that he went through. And not only did he go through that, he was a great player. And so you fast forward from 1966 to yesterday, and I took him and his children and his sister and his cousin into Racer Arena for the first time since he left. almost 58 years, Todd.
Oh, wow.
He walked in there yesterday, and he just said, wow, this place hasn't changed a bit. And I was like, yeah, other than playing volleyball in it for the last 25 years, it's still the same old Racer Arena. And I said, hey, let's go down on the floor. And he's 80 years old now. And he was like, I don't think I can walk down those steps. And his son and myself, we each grabbed an arm and said, come on, we're going down. And we spent a little over an hour in Racer Arena yesterday. And it was emotional. The whole day was emotional because the groundbreaker that he was, the great player that he was. And when we dropped that banner, number 40 last night, and that crowd stood up, it was one of those things that this is why I do what I do, because that moment was priceless. And now he's taken his place among the greats in the rafters at CFSB Center. Of course, he was already in our Hall of Fame. He went in the Hall of Fame in 1981. But even then, he was playing in Argentina and couldn't make it back in person. So it was just a great time. And he's living in Sweden, where he's been. He basically finished up his career there 30 years ago and kind of settled down and became a coach at various levels for men and women in Sweden. So that's where his home is. So we started kind of looking for him in 2018. Some of his classmates was the real driving force behind this, and some of his teammates. And then the pandemic hit, and then we found him, and then here we are 5 years later, and we finally got it done last night. So it's pretty amazing.
Yeah, that's a great story. And, you know, that was just a little bit before my time, but I think any time you have any list of the greatest racers ever, I think you have to include Stuart Johnson on that list.
Well, that was, of course, during a time where freshmen weren't allowed to play, which is kind of funny because we look back on that and go, well, they also, you know, for a long time wouldn't let the players dunk the ball.
Right.
You know? So they wouldn't let freshmen play back then. So, Stuart Johnson, Dick Cunningham, Howie Crittenden, some of the others that played in the 50s and 60s, every bit of their stats are 3 years. And they're not 4 years like Popeye Jones. So, Stuart still had almost 1,000 rebounds in 3 years. He's still number four on our list at Murray State. And, of course, Cal Luther passed away a couple years ago. His wife, Linda, who lives down in Martin, Tennessee, she was there last night. And I was listening to a podcast I did with Coach Luther a long time ago when he was still in good health. And he just said Stuart Johnson was one of the best pure shooters he's ever coached. And so Stuart was kind of the head of his time. What he really needed when he was at Murray State was a three-point shot. He would have really torn it up. Whereas by the time he was playing, the three-point shot was still 20 years off.
Right. He did go on to a long career in the ABA, though. So, I mean, he got to play for a long time. And I'm guessing the ABA probably had a three-point shot pretty early.
I don't know. I'd have to look into that. But he was talking last night about just how a lot of guys in the ABA right then were feeling a lot of pressure because they were wanting to get to the NBA. And, of course, there was a merger, as you know. One of the NBA, they took the Nuggets, the Pacers, the Spurs, the Nets maybe. There was maybe four teams that joined the NBA.
Yeah.
He said he just wanted to play. He played that league for 11 years, scored 10,000 points. He had the ABA single game scoring record of 62 points that he had against a team from Florida in 1971. And then when his ABA career was over after 11 years, he, like I said, he played in South America, and then he played in Europe. And, you know, I didn't really get the chance to ask him last night, but one of his teammates said that he was still playing competitive basketball over there in Sweden when he was 53 years old.
Yeah, wow.
He's just an amazing guy, man. It was a thrill for me to meet him.
Yeah, you talk about raising the banner, and I think Caldwell Countyans can kind of relate because it was just last year that Western Kentucky retired the jersey of Dwight Smith, and that was a big deal. There were a lot of Princeton people at that event, and just a huge moment to finally see see that happen, because I think a lot of us had lobbied for it for so long, and so we can relate when you talk about being emotional seeing a jersey lifted up into the rafters.
Well, and I think every school has was probably a little later on Hall of Fames and jersey retirements than they wanted to be in some cases, and this was one for Murray State. And there's been others like Danny Lee Johnson, who we finally got in the Hall of Fame, a great football player. You know, it just for whatever reason, it just took longer than it should, and so this felt very satisfying for me last night to see one of our greatest players ever, who's now 80 years old, to finally get that, and you know, and to see us honor Dennis Jackson like that. We just retired Don Clayton's football jersey number 21. He's our all-time leading rusher. And he's getting up there, too. We did that at the last home game. So our AD, Nick Oyanko, he's got a keen sense of history and honoring tradition and history. And that's really one of the things that he's always got his mind on. And we got other stuff coming down this season yet. We're going to retire Ashley Hayes' number 23 for women's basketball in January. And she went in our Hall of Fame maybe 10 years ago. She's one of the greatest players to ever play at Murray State, and we're going to honor her in January. So we probably got our eye on the history and the tradition and honoring these people more right now under Nico's leadership than we've had ever, because he played quarterback here. So he understands it, and we're moving forward with it.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of that. I think you have to remember your history, and you know, there are so many great players, and like you say, I think sometimes people just slip through the cracks or they're forgotten, and it just takes somebody bringing them up again and kind of getting their name back out there for people to get behind, you know, recognizing those guys from 40, 50, or 60 years ago.
It does, and I've constantly got my mind on those things, because that's kind of part of my one of the main parts of my duties with Murray State Athletics. We just put in another Hall of Fame class, our 41st class, here at the end of, it was November 17th was the banquet, and then we honored them at the last football game on November the 18th. She had Cameron Carrico from Owensboro, men's golf, who went in, still lives in Owensboro. Harriet Withers, our all-time soccer scoring champion from Australia, she came all the way back. She had not been back here since she left in 2017. Then there was our legacy pick, which was Robin Courtney, who was part of those great late 70s teams for Coach Reagan and Murray State Baseball. We honored the late Squeaky Yarborough, who I believe was the first inductee that we've ever done posthumously, and Michael Proctor, who's one of our retired football numbers. He stood up and just gave this eloquent obituary and remembrance of Squeaky, and all of his family and a lot of his teammates were there, so that was really neat. We lost Squeaky in July. And then Nathan Williams, who was a Murray hometown kid who played 6 years for Murray State but lost two of those years to catastrophic injuries. He broke his pelvis 1 year, blew his knee out the other year, and yet he still kept fighting and eventually became OVC Defensive Player of the Year and had a chance to play in the NFL, but they would not deem him physically fit with all the injuries that he's had. They wouldn't let him try out. So that was the class, the five that we put in November. And as you know, last summer we honored Jonathan Stark, men's basketball, and Kashanan James, women's basketball, so that they could get back to their careers in Europe, because they're still active. So it was a good year, and now we're already working on the class of 2024. We usually try to announce that, you know, in the springtime, usually before school is out in May.
We're talking this morning with Dave Winder from Murray State University. And, Dave, you mentioned earlier taking Stuart Johnson in Racer Arena, and, of course, not too far back, you guys got to actually play a throwback game there in Racer Arena. What was kind of your favorite moment of that night?
Wow. Well, first of all, an hour before tip, I saw people coming in and they were finding the old seats that they used to have.
Oh, wow.
And they were sitting in the seats they used to sit in 25 years ago. That was a moment. I think the best thing for me that really topped it off, it was like the icing on the cake, was the old Dunker, snorting Dunker logo that was in the middle of the floor. And then we wore the throwback baby blue uniforms that Ron Green made very popular back in the late 70s and early 80s. So that, I think those two things was my two biggest moments. My son was there, and of course, it's an exhibition game, so I was like, second half, I'm like, I'm going to go sit in the stands. So I went up there with my son and sat with him for a little bit. He was there with a friend of his, and it was quite a moment. The place was packed. It was just like you remember it, and it was loud, and our current players had an absolute blast. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, that sounds like a whole lot of fun. And, Dave, just one more question for you. I've always got to throw a St. Louis Cardinals question at you. Looks like we're making some moves as far as starting pitching goes. Do you think we're finished? Do you think there's more moves coming? What do the Cardinals need to do to kind of put last season behind them and move forward this spring?
Well, honestly, Todd, I haven't paid a lot of attention because I'm pretty busy with football and basketball right now, but I did see where the Cardinals signed Sonny Gray. He's a proven starting arm and has done very well. He's still relatively young and has a chance to be a really – he's been good for about anybody that he's ever played for. Other than that, I couldn't really tell you what they've done in the last few weeks because I've had my head down grinding, Todd.
Well, you know they brought Lance Lynn back.
Oh, I hadn't heard. See, I hadn't heard that.
Yeah.
How about that? They should have never let him go.
Yeah, that's a lot of innings to give up right there.
He's a workhorse.
Yeah.
Still is.
You know, I don't think people realize.
I had not heard that. That's how far out of touch with the Cardinals I am.
I don't think people realize sometimes that those 500 pitchers that have a 4-something ERA, if they eat up 190 or 200 innings for you, those are valuable guys.
Yes, because last I checked, baseball games are still 9 innings, and someone has to go out there and throw the ball and get 3 outs. So, yes, that comes into the thought that a baseball season is a marathon. It's not a sprint. And you definitely need guys who can handle a good, if not heavy, innings load every year.
Well, let's hope this season's better than last season.
I hope so, because that was no fun. And it's hard for me to watch much of that because it was – I'm a fan just like you, and a little upset at the front office for letting it get to this point, but here we are.
Well, Dave, I appreciate you coming on to Talking Racer Sports. Had a few more questions for you, but, you know, we'll save that for next time.
All right, buddy. Hey, take care, and we'll talk soon.
All right, thanks, Dave. That's Dave Winder from Murray State University. Appreciate him coming on the show this morning here on the Sideline Report. We need to get to a break. Coming up in just a little bit, Ford Branch Jr. and Jay Engelbright will be in the studio with us. We'll talk about half marathons and more with them right after this. So stay tuned here on 1580 103.3 WPKY.
As a bank that's been part of the Caldwell County communities for almost 140 years, we've seen many changes. As we celebrate First Southern's first 40 years as an organization, we know any achievements we have had are because of the customers we worked alongside. We affirm our commitment to the shared values that brought us here. We look forward to spending the next 40 years and beyond serving you. For more information, visit fsmb.net. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Learn about your heart health with a simple scan. The Cardiology Clinic at Caldwell Medical Center features a highly trained team of heart health specialists and years of experience in cardiac health and wellness. Our specialists provide a wide range of cardiac-specific services, offering coronary artery calcium testing, stress test, echocardiograms, sleep studies, and more, all right here close to home. To schedule an appointment, visit CaldwellMedical.com.
At Trilogy Performance Sports, they believe in only the highest standards of physical fitness training.
Their staff members are actively enriching the lives of their members and creating a community of like-minded people. And getting you in shape is their number one goal. They have everything you need: knowledge, experience, and equipment. They find out what's important to you and design a customized plan that fits your needs. Learn more at TrilogyPerformanceSports.com.
At Tricios, they're ordering it your way. How would you like to have a vehicle built just for you? Little things are important, like rich colors, big screens and displays, almost like watching TV. Exteriors with beautiful style and powerful engines that respond to the lightest touch on the accelerator. It's time to get what you want. Order your new ride and feel the thrill when you drive off the lot. Tricios in Princeton is the one-stop shop for everything your vehicle needs. For more information, visit Tricios.com. That's Tricios.com.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Kentucky. Brought to you by the Kentucky High School Athletic Association and the Kentucky Athletic Administrators Association.
Hi, this is Lauren Brandon, and I'm proud to have served in this community for 45 years. As a bank that's been part of the Princeton community for over 139 years, we've seen many changes. As we celebrate First Southern's first 40 years as an organization, we know any achievements we have had are because of the customers we have worked alongside. We look forward to spending the next 40 years and beyond serving you. For more information, visit fsmb.net, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
This is the Sideline Report on 1580, 103.3 WPKY. Thanks a lot for tuning in this morning. Basketball tonight has the Caldwell County Tigers going to the Fort Campbell Falcons. No radio coverage of that game tonight, but we will have complete coverage after the game over at yoursportsedge.com. Lady Tigers were scheduled to play tonight, but the game against Mayfield has been pushed back to December 18th. Mayfield has a football game or something coming up tomorrow that's a pretty big deal, so they wanted to clear the schedule and push that game back. So no Lady Tiger basketball action tonight, but the Lady Tigers will host Union County Friday night at the Cab Gym, and we'll have that game for you here on WPKY. Stay with us. More of the Sideline Report after this on 1580, 103.3 WPKY.
Farless Realty is your local real estate office. Their experienced agents understand the market and are ready to help you find the perfect home. Farless Realty, 323 South Jefferson Street, Princeton, 270-365-5058.
Your WeatherEdge Weather Center forecast, overnight low 35. By this afternoon, much warmer, increasing cloud cover, high near 60. South-southwest winds could be as high as 15 to 20 miles an hour. Thursday night, a guarantee for some precipitation in western Kentucky. Low around 42. Breezy south winds could be as high as 30 miles an hour. Friday, a 60% chance of showers before the lunch hour. Cloudy skies afterward with a high near 61. Still windy out of the south-southwest. But back to right now, an overnight low of 35 by this afternoon. Increasing cloud cover, almost 60 degrees.
Fredonia Valley Bank encourages you to support our businesses. Patronize our shops. Savor the food from our local eateries, procure locally made products, and align with your bank. At Fredonia Valley Bank, the employees, decisions, commitment, and investments stem from the same soil as yours. They're more than just a bank. They are embedded in community life. Pledged to the prosperity of their customers and community, Fredonia Valley Bank is your definitive community bank.
Member FDIC, equal housing lender.
If you're involved in an auto accident, it's your choice where your vehicle is repaired. Some insurance companies refer you to pro shops because they give the insurance company discounts. But with those discounts, the insurance company has input on the parts used and might not always use what is best. At Tricios Body Shop, they're not partnered with an insurance company, but they give the same lifetime limited warranty to the person who owns the vehicle at the time of repairs. Visit Tricios in Princeton for your vehicle repairs.
This is the Sideline Report on 1580, 103.3 WPKY. Thanks a lot for tuning in this morning. As promised, we've got Ford Branch Jr. and Jay Englebright in the studio with us. And Jay, I was just mentioning earlier, it's the second week in a row I've had an Englebright in the studio.
Yeah, and I said to you, Todd, you know, you must be really hard up for content to have us both in here. But, you know, regardless, we're here. So I appreciate you having us this morning.
Well, and Ford, thanks to you guys for coming in.
You appreciate it. Like I said, I've done this a couple times and always enjoyable and talk about a lot of different things. So happy to be here.
Yeah, Jay, how did you guys get into the marathon business?
Well, I'll tell you, I did my first run, I think, in Princeton. I can't remember if it was the Optimist Club. Someone had a Princeton Black Patch run. It was 3.1 miles, and it was in 2004. And I'd kind of been flirting with running, and I did that race, and then it just grew from there. I did a couple of 10Ks, and then it just grew. I'm like, I want to run farther and farther. I like the health benefits and how it made me feel, so stepped up to the half marathon, and then I got this guy involved. Yeah. I did a couple before it. 2008, I did the Nashville one. 2009, I did, 2008 was Louisville. 2009, I did Nashville. And then 10, I did a Flying Pig one in Cincinnati, and then I was hooked.
Yeah.
And so I knew this guy refereed, and I don't know how it came up. One day, I just said to Ford, hey, how about doing this run with me? Do you remember?
We ran each other probably with work and somewhere. I think we ran into each other and, you know, and said, I was talking about wanting to, he was talking about running. I thought what I was doing was running. I was probably just running a few miles out on the golf course, but I was doing it to, you know, for basketball, for refereeing, to try to stay in shape. And he said something about it, and I think it just took off from there. We just, you know, he talked about what he was doing. I was like, oh, listen, I can try that. So then it kind of came where we started doing half marathons, like, you know, a couple a year, like in the fall, spring and the fall, which was good for me because it kind of got me ready for basketball and for the season or for the summer for camps, and it just kind of took off from there.
Well, I see you guys running by the studio some mornings.
Oh, yeah. We're getting ready to do one on Saturday, actually, St. Jude half marathon, which I have always had on my list to do and just never have done it because it's at the end of the year. But we got that Saturday morning. So that ought to be a good one. And the people who really do it like it. It's like the biggest one-day fundraiser for St. Jude. I think they make $15 million in one day.
Wow.
from this. But you run through the St. Jude campus, and some of the kids are out there waving, as I understand. So it's a pretty neat race. I think it's pretty flat, so I'm excited to do it.
How do you go about preparing for something like that? That's 13 miles, right?
Correct, 13.1. Over the years, I mean, if you go online, there's a wealth of information. People have, you know, 4 weeks to half marathon, 8 weeks to half marathon. There's a guy named Hal Higdon who is kind of a running guru. He's got a plan you can go look at. But it's just gradually, you know, starting and increasing your miles. And then once you get close to race day, about a week ahead, you kind of start tapering back so that your legs are still fresh.
The first one I did, I did the Hal Higdon. Then you do, it's like you bicycle, you jog and you swim. It's like it gets your body, kind of prepared.
Oh,
so
really?
It's like a system to get yourself prepared. Now, I have not done that since the very first time, but that the first time I did one with him, when we were younger, we prepared a lot more, did a lot more. This one, not as much preparation and training, but still, we put a lot of miles in.
We've gotten slower over the years, it's still, I mean, we've done some nine and a half mile runs, you know, and so it's good, you know. It's it makes you feel great. It doesn't hurt. I mean, it hurts a little bit when you're doing it, but when you're done, you feel really well.
Well, what's the game plan though? Do you have a time you're running against, or what are you looking to accomplish?
Well, we used to always try to beat 2 hours. Right, 2 hours was always our goal. I don't think we'll get that this time. We might if we have a crazy burst, but. You know, we did one the other day. I think it was 9.5, and I think we had like a 9:41 pace through, you know, Fitbits and all that. That's about a 2-hour and 7-minute half. So I think if we can break 2:10, I would be pretty pleased with that.
Nine and a half miles for 13 miles. It's not bad for our age.
For sure.
In our training.
Now, do you see people you know when you're running these things?
We've run into quite a few. I think there's some people that reached out to Ford that they're running the 10K down there this weekend. I think what they have this weekend is a 5K, 10K, half, and a full.
Yeah.
And they, you know, I think the 5 and the 10K go off at 7, and then the half and the full go off at 8. So, but yeah, they're over the years, especially at Murray, we've seen some folks. And you know, the other thing is it's been really good friendship. I mean, we talk about a lot of things, and then our families have gone on a couple of these. We did, you know, one in St. Louis where our families went when they were younger, went to the zoo. Yeah. We did one in Indianapolis where you run the 500 track. It's one of the biggest ones in the country. Yeah. And went to a children's museum. So we've done some stuff that can, you know, build around some stuff that our kids could do too.
Yeah, and like you said, Ford Wayne, with doing basketball, this kind of helps you keep in shape a little bit too.
Oh, it does. I mean, it's been great. You know, Jay and I've always kind of teased that we run so we can eat like we like to too. Because obviously, if we were to train like we, if we were running like we do, and we ate better, we'd probably be in much better shape than we are. But like I said, for me, it was just like Jay said. I mean, I feel better on the days I run. I feel better when I'm out working, and I can just tell a difference. And but it's just, for me, like I said, it did. It gave me something to make myself be in shape for each season. And of course, what my joke with that has always been is that, you know, each year I get older, but the players that I'm officiating stay the same age. So it gets harder each year to go up and down the court. So, but it's been really helpful for me to stay in shape.
And I was just going to say, you know, you get a lot of mental clarity from running too. I mean, it's just, it's as good for the mind as it is for the body. I feel like I've done a lot of treadmill running too, and you have a lot of time to think, time to pray, time to work things out, you know, in your mind. So,
It's kept Dr. Settle off my back on cholesterol levels and blood pressure levels too. He can't say, he tells me my knees are going to go out, but at the same time, he can't say much because my cholesterol, you know, blood pressure, everything else has been in super. So
that's what you hope, right? Said it's going to add some years back onto your life from doing it.
Well, how do you guys find time to run and compete? Because you guys, with your jobs, are on the road a lot already.
Yeah.
Well, I will just say, you know, fortunately for us, we have jobs that are somewhat flexible, and we get up early a lot of mornings and run. And so you just kind of have to plan it around. We have some days where we have short days, right, where we're going not too far, and then we have days where you got to get in the car and drive. So just kind of work around it. We've done some Sundays. We do some weekends stuff, so especially on the long runs.
Okay. Do you guys have, like, a route through town, or do you kind of mix it up some?
Yeah, we do. We've got a couple that we've built up over the years. I mean, we always start at Butler, basically. Now, there's a few times we'll do the country club. We'll do a country club run, but for the most part, it's – through you know, start at Butler, and we'll go through downtown, go out towards Sandlick, and then come back through here, you know, come down to Casey's, turn around and go through just all of downtown. And then we've got our we have a short run, we have a longer run. The longer run, we go out South Jefferson towards Cantrell, around the old hospital area, and we just kind of, you know, zigzag throughout all the streets.
I think our short route is the one that the hospital used to do a little run, and I think Sean Meston laid this one out. That where you go up to Highland Avenue and you go way up to the top and then come back down. So I think that's where I got that one.
Okay. We've got Jay Englebright and Ford Branch Jr. in the studio with us this morning. We need to get to a break, but we'll come back and have more with them right after this. Stay with us here on 1580 103.3 WPKY.
The Persnickety Pig is open. Friendly, courteous staff, fabulous selections, and a style as unique as you. As unique as their name. The Persnickety Pig, Broadbent Square, Katy's. Follow on social media.
Your Weather Edge Weather Center forecast, an overnight low of 35 degrees. By this afternoon, increasing cloud cover, high near 59. South-southwest winds could be as high as 15 to 20 miles an hour. Thursday night, a guarantee for showers, low around 42. Breezy south winds could be as high as 30 miles an hour. Friday, a 60% chance of showers before lunchtime. Cloudy skies, high near 61. South-southwest winds could be as high as 30 miles an hour. Friday night, mostly cloudy, low around 43 degrees. But back to right now, an overnight low of 35. By this afternoon, increasing clouds, almost 60.
At Tricews, they're ordering it your way. How would you like to have a vehicle built just for you?
Little things are important, like rich colors, big screens and displays, almost like watching TV. Exteriors with beautiful style and powerful engines that respond to the lightest touch on the accelerator. It's time to get what you want. Order your new ride and feel the thrill when you drive off the lot. Trice Hughes in Princeton is the one-stop shop for everything your vehicle needs. For more information, visit TriceHughes.com. That's TriceHughes.com.
Powering your lives and lighting up your nights. Princeton Electric Plant Board's community spirit shines bright. Entrusted with the glow of our fields, they keep our Tigers' pathways illuminated to victory. A shout-out goes to our Tigers, Preston Burrell and Cole Wyatt, as they roar into a new season. Good luck, Tigers. Here's to a safe and victorious year from your one and only Princeton Electric Plant Board. They're not just a service, they're community.
Financial planning should be specific to you and your life circumstances. That is why we created InvestFB Wealth Management, a division of Farmers Bank. Hi, I'm Jeff McDaniels, InvestFB's lead financial advisor. Whether you're saving for retirement, starting a business, or planning your family's future, our individual and comprehensive approach can help you achieve your financial goals. Visit us today at our Princeton or Eddyville offices to start a conversation about your individual financial needs.
This is the Sideline Report on 1580, 103.3 WPKY. Thanks a lot for tuning in this morning. We're talking with Jay Engelbreit and Ford Branch Jr. in the studio with us this morning, getting ready for a half marathon. And guys, that's coming up this Saturday in Memphis. What are some of the more interesting events you guys have taken part in?
Ford, me or you?
I think we have our favorites probably. I mean, we've always tried to do one thing. We've always tried to do is we try to do them in the spring and the fall where the weather's, you know, comfortable, where you're not, you know, we're not going to be in a lot of excessive heat. But I think probably for me, probably I guess Indianapolis was probably my favorite, just because of getting to run on the racetrack, you know, do a lap around that, and just the, you know, what you see when you're running around the different cities and towns. But I'd say St. Louis or Indy. Just plus we had our families there, and that made it kind of cool as well. They were there to cheer us on.
Todd, I would say some of the highlights for me, I'm a big Walt Disney World guy. I grew up going there and always taking my family. And 2015, I ran the half marathon there. So if you do the full there, you run through all four parks, but the half is two, and you run through Magic Kingdom and you run through Epcot. And so they shut all that down. They don't shut it down. You start early. So you have to get on a bus at like 3:20. Well, I was down there the night before. We had shut down a park, and then I started like really early that day. And it's really cool just to run around that when no one's there. But then I went and Jack did a little mile run that day, and then we stayed and shut down the park again. I was absolutely exhausted. But that was a great one. And then a couple other notable ones. As Ford mentioned, you know, the Indy 500, it's kind of tilted the track a little bit. You run around that, and, you know, you see the bricks that you've seen at the 500. That's cool. The Louisville one, you run through Churchill Downs. That's really cool. And then the St. Louis half marathon, as I said, they have a part called Holy Hill or something like that that's really high. And, you know, you had a priest up there hitting all the runners with holy water. So that was kind of neat, trying to help us get up that hill. So that's just a few of the highlights,
you know. You know, that kind of reminds me of some of the color runs they have around here where people are throwing paint or whatever on the runners as they go by.
Absolutely.
Well, they've got a lot of stuff. Like we were talking in the break, you've got a lot of people cheering you on. You have bands set up. You have just people cheering you from different probably groups. And it's pretty cool because, I mean, you've got, you know, a lot of people that you don't know, but they're cheering you on and talking. Yeah. And it helps. I mean, it helps you kind of forget what you're doing and kind of gives you a little, you know, extra step. So it's nice.
Well, maybe this is a stupid question, but how often can you do a marathon or a half marathon or one of these distance events?
Well, I mean, there are people, this running thing, I mean, we're just, you know, barely scratched the surface of what you can do. I mean, there are people who do ultra marathons, I can't remember the guy I was looking up not long ago, but I mean, he had run like 70 miles a day for so many days. I mean, just crazy.
Wow.
So yeah, I think it's all what your body can do. But they're ultra marathoners. There's people that go and run the desert. Probably the biggest One that's famous is this run of Mont Blanc. It's over in Europe, and these guys run, you know, through the mountains, and it's just, it's crazy. So the stuff people will do, the ultra marathoners, it's just amazing. So,
well, best of luck to you guys this weekend at Memphis. And Ford, want to ask you a little bit more about basketball officiating. How many games are you calling now? And you get to see some Caldwell County kids every now and then.
Yeah, I do. I've cut back quite a bit the last couple of years. Just, you know, when Tripp was a junior in high school, I started cutting back, and just, of course, wear and tear on the body, things like that. But I'm still probably do. I'll probably do 25 or 30 games this year, which, you know, is still 25, 30 nights on the road.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was at one point doing probably 40 to 50 games. But yeah, it's, I'm still enjoying it. I mean, it's obviously taking a back seat now to family and some things. So I've tried in my job, but I still enjoy it. Like I said, like this past weekend, I did a tournament I've never done. It was called The Show. It was a big NAIA tournament. And of course, Georgetown was there with JB Ron. So yeah, I still get to see. Of course, you know, I got to watch Darian play for, you know, 2 or 3 years at Georgetown, which was really, really nice to watch. And of course, then I can't remember if I did an ASUN game with him. And or not, you know, I did with Eli. You know, I watched Eli, you know, down at Lipscomb play, and did several games at Austin Peay, you know, and at Tennessee State when he was playing them. So, you know, it's. I mean, I still enjoy it. It's again. It's after almost what I did. I did Division I for 16 years, and I think now I've got about 20 years, you know, of college ball under my belt. It's, you know, it's. I'm kind of slowing down, but it's, again, it's a lot of fun. I mean, I still like being out there. It was fun this weekend doing that. I mean, you get to see, again, a lot of good players, a lot of good young players, a lot of good basketball. I mean, I got to do games with, you know, Ja Moran at Murray State.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I've seen a lot of good basketball. I had a lot of fun doing it. And, you know, like I said, it's, you know, met a lot of good people, built a lot of good friendships through it with, you know, referees all over the world or all over the United States. And it's fun. Like I said, it's I'm slowing down a little bit, but it's I still enjoy doing it.
Well, typically, do you call someplace pretty close? I mean, is it 4 or 5 hours?
Well, I mean, now the D1 stuff. I mean, I had a couple of trips to Northern Iowa. It would be eight hours.
Yeah.
You know, 8 hour drive, and I would try to break it up. I'd leave, you know, early, like on a Friday, and spend the night, and then drive on in on Saturday and things like that. I never, if it was 8 hours or less, I would try to drive it, and I'd just have to spend, you know, some time on the road. But now, I mean, I try to work my days. I mean, to some extent, I try to work, you know, like last night I had a game at Oakland City, and I worked in Louisville, and it was about an hour and 20-minute drive from Louisville, so I just kind of went from Princeton to Louisville to Oakland City, then back to Princeton that night. And a lot of travel, a lot of driving, but I try to work it around where I'm going to be working if I can. And now, I mean, I don't have anything really over 3 or 4 hours. Now, like this weekend going to Kingsport, that was about a five-hour drive, but you stay a couple nights and refereed. I did 4 games over the weekend, and but basically now it's everything's probably within 2 to 3 hours, you know, depending on. But with working and driving to a game, it, you know, ends up being probably 5, 6, 8 hours on the road a lot of days, you know, going back and forth from games.
Yeah. Well, do you guys still keep up with Caldwell County quite a bit? I mean, you both had kids that played, and
yeah.
I try to. I mean, like last night, was it last night or the night before? Well, I've got one that's playing middle school ball now, and you know, I tried to listen. You know, they played at Livingston, and then on the way home, tried to listen to the end of the Webster County Caldwell game. So, yeah, I mean, you know, I know Chuck real well. He's, you know, been coaching Trendon for several years in baseball, you know, travel baseball, things like that. So, yeah, I definitely have a vested interest there to see how they're doing. Of course, if Trendon keeps on playing, you know, that hopefully, you know, I'll be in it again in a few years with him. But yeah, we definitely keep up with it. We talk about it. That's one of the things we talk about when we run. You know, we're always talking about whether it's football season, baseball, basketball. We always are talking sports.
And, Todd, you know, we failed to mention that the carrot at the end of the stick in Memphis is Charlie Virgo's Rendezvous, which is an amazing barbecue place there that has these dry rub ribs. So, that's kind of our reward if we, you know, finish and don't collapse. We'll get a little rendezvous lunch.
Well, that's one that we didn't mention. We mentioned, you know, we're both foodies. I mean, I made that mention earlier that we run so we can eat what we want to eat. But I know we always talked about Murray. You know, Murray was a small one, but it was amazing. They had these peanut butter sandwiches and the chocolate milk, you know, because they have the factory there, the plant. And we went back the next year to do it just because we enjoyed the peanut butter and the chocolate milk after the run. So, you know, that's the little things that's funny. You know, the Urban Bourbon in Louisville, you know, they had bourbon shop. You know, you could, you know, you had beers and bourbons and things if you wanted to after the race. So it's pretty cool. All these places do a good job of, you know, at the end taking care of you and making sure you have what you need to recover.
All right, good deal. I appreciate you guys coming in. Just one more thing. You know, if Ty were here, we'd probably do like a top five Star Wars movies.
Yes.
Would you guys be up for that?
Yeah, I mean, I enjoy your all's top fives, your movies, your, you know, field of dreams. You guys always find neat topics. So, but thank you for having us, Todd. Really appreciate it.
Thanks for coming in.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Ford Branch Jr. and Jay Engelbright, and got to talk some half marathons and some more with them this morning. And as always, appreciate Dave Winder from Murray State University for joining us on the show today. That's going to wrap us up for this edition of the Sideline Report. This is Todd Griffin of WPKY Radio and YourSportsEdge.com. Thanks a lot for being with us here on 1580 103.3 WPKY. WPKY.